is Quint Tatro, who is in the studio with us this morning. Record highs, 23,000 for a brief time yesterday. So timing's beautiful to have you in here today. You've changed the name of your company. We discussed that a little bit last hour, but for those of you who weren't with us, Tatro Capital is now Joule Financial, and it's J-O-U-L-E. And what does that mean?
It probably means it's a good indication of a top in the market. Anytime you have a major change like that.
That's right.
There's an old adage in Wall Street that when you change offices, you better be ready to hunker down. Now, we changed offices 2 years ago, and that proved to be a very good thing in the general market. So I don't obviously believe in those sort of old adages, if you will. But no, we attempted to rebrand. The funny story is almost 20 years ago now, I remember starting my business and having to open a bank account. And while I knew a lot about business, analyzing publicly traded companies and investing, had been studying that since I was probably could walk.
Yeah.
But I did not know much about opening a company in the state, filing papers with the Secretary of State, et cetera. And I can remember vividly getting the form. This was before you could do it immediately online, so you had to fill it out and mail it in, or I think I drove it to Frankfurt because I needed to get the bank account open pretty quickly. And it said, literally, what's your name? And I mean, within seconds, I just said, oh, we're Tatro Capital. Just didn't even think twice about it. It was just, we're Tatro Capital. And, that name's been fine, but one of the things that I've had to overcome, it's kind of like you're an ice cream shop. You specialize in great ice cream, and your outside sign says healthy eats. Well, I mean, maybe not. Maybe it's not. I mean, that's probably a bad analogy, but you get my drift, right? I mean, I didn't think too much about it. Luckily, I've been able to utilize the platform that I've so graciously had through areas like this radio station or through writings and television, et cetera, to relay what it is that we do. But, Jack, as you know, because you're a client, I mean, we help folks through all stages of financial and retirement planning, from the early, early stages of sitting down with someone and saying, okay, what are the goals? What are the objectives? What are you trying to accomplish? To the actual development of a plan, and then the implementation, if someone chooses to implement that plan. That could be through investing, creating portfolios. That could be just from helping them manage their own 401k. I have a ton of clients that are not actual investment clients of ours, but they have a 401k, they have a pension, they have a various company retirement plan, and they're seeking guidance from allocation to someone that they can talk to. I mean, let's face it, someone from your company retirement plan is going to show up in your headquarters or in your office maybe once a year, maybe every 6 months. Odds are they're new or different every 6 months, because it's not a very desirable position in a large corporation like Fidelity to be the guy who has to go out and make those calls on people and so forth. They don't know anything about you. They're not going to give you advice because that gives them liability, or that creates liability. So again, we have this all-encompassing. We're a very holistic firm. We believe in making sure people are out of debt, making sure that they're well allocated as far as what their risk tolerance is, what their overall required rate of return is, et cetera. So we needed a name, a brand, if you will, that reflected that. And we hired a Bullhorn Creative here in town. They did an exceptional job, and they really did a deep dive in our company. And they presented us with a lot of cool names and looks and brands.
But they
so
decided
forth.
That you should change your name?
Well, we went to them with that question. We were looking at, should it be Tatro Wealth Management? Should I keep my name in there?
Yeah.
And that was a big question, because I had a big question mark. But here's what we're finding. We are in an ever-changing environment in this business, a massively changing environment. Because we manage now almost $120 million, which I'm very proud of, we started with nothing, I mean literally with zero, we are a mid-major, I would say, investment advisor in the business, which means we can pay for and keep up with the regulatory compliance, etc. A lot of guys and gals can't. Mm-hmm. They cannot do it. In addition, there's a huge amount of advisors that are working in brokerage firms that are getting probably a little fed up with having to sell garbage. and they're looking for a new home. Over the years, if we find folks that are of similar character, integrity, and follow a similar methodology, I wouldn't I would not mind at all bringing other advisors into our business. So if you're an advisor out there that manages their own clients, has their own business, and you're looking at aligning with a firm, do you want to align with a firm that has somebody else's name in it?
Yeah.
I mean, so there was, again, a multitude of reasons, but Joule, J-O-U-L-E, it's not the GEM, it's the International Unit Measurement of Energy. It really depicts what we do and what we try to bring to the table for our clients.
We've got 2 minutes until the break. Tell us what you do when you hit a record high at Wall Street. Do you guys do backflips? Do
no.
you go for drinks? Do
we,
you
we, no. We bottle
put
up,
on morning clothes?
We bottle up the enthusiasm. We put it on the shelf, and we remember to pull it down when the times are tough.
Yeah.
If you're not, I mean, everyone, me included, is certainly nervous about this. We're climbing what's called a wall of worry. There's so many things that could hit the market. Yet we keep going high every day. It has everyone scratching their heads. We have been taking some profits. All right? I mean, you're sitting at the blackjack table. You have a ton of chips in front of you. You've had an incredible run. You know it will turn at some point. Take some profits. It's not market timing. It's prudent management. So that's what we've been doing. And that's a little different than 90% of folks in our industry. They won't do that. We are doing that. We're taking profits. We're kind of setting a little bit more and more on the sidelines every once in a while so that when a rainy day comes, and it will come, we have the opportunity to get in there and buy some things that we like at bargain prices.
Clint Tatro is my guest this morning. He is the founder and president of Joule Financial. You've got a text here. We've got two or three. It says for Quint, why does stock like IBM go up even when they said their sales declined? That's a good question.
It's all about sentiment and expectations. So even though that the report could be negative or perceived as a decline, what is being priced in is even worse. And so when it's not as bad, then there's this sort of pressure release, if you will. IBM has been selling off. In fact, while the market has been hitting highs, IBM is down from well over $200 a share just a few years ago, down to about 130, 140. Now they're bouncing to 150, and so it's been in a significant decline. And now, again, they're saying, hey, sales have soft. I have not looked at the report. They were just reported this morning. And then the stock is lifting on that. I don't think that's a reason to go out and buy a stock like IBM, but it's the same reason we have an old adage in the business, buy the sizzle, sell the steak. And what that means is when the news is actually announced, usually there's some kind of sell-off or something like that. Or in this instance, it's baked in that it's going to be really, really bad. It's not as bad, and so there's a lift. It's the same reason that, if a tax plan does not get pushed through, I do think the market will suffer some selling. But I would not at all be surprised if the tax plan is so priced into the market by the time it is released or accepted that the market sells off on that news as well.
All right, 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, email jackpatty@wvlkam.com, and you can also text us on our text line, which is sponsored by the Pharmacy Shop on Southland Drive, 253-5959, and Todd is here. Todd, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Howdy.
I just had a question for Quinn. It's something I've wondered about in the more recent years. Actually, I got many questions, but I'll just narrow it down to one for right now.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I used to be in the business in the late 80s to early 90s, and there was a feeling and an actual documented theory that the stock market moved 6 months ahead of history. Based upon expectations. Whatever it's doing right now is basically the consumer's views on where the economy is going to be 6 months from now, okay? And so I just wondered if you felt like because of the speed of information and the internet and just all the chatter that's out there, if you felt like that window was narrower or wider now, are we seeing these record highs because, the perception is that, that things are getting better very quickly, like next month, or, you know, is it a general perception tied to, you know, where we're going to be a year from now, say?
Wow, that's great. Yeah, so what you're speaking about, and to our audience, is the market is commonly referred to as a discounting mechanism, and so it takes the future that is relatively unknown, discounts it to the present, and basically what he's saying is bakes that in, similar to what we were talking about IBM and their announcement this morning. And so if it doesn't come to fruition, then the market, you know, doesn't react as well. I would definitely agree with you that there's no question that, that it's probably being shortened quite a bit as far as the reaction and the movement because of social media and the way or news flow and the way it propagates throughout the industry. In addition, I would say the speed and flexibility by which people trade. I was doing a significant study on the 87 crash. Sounds like you were in the business at the time. My father was. I was 10. It rocked my world. I know that sounds weird because I was only 10 years old, but I'll tell you, in our household, it changed things dramatically. One of the reasons that we had such a terrible decline on that day, if you probably remember this, was that everybody was placing orders through the phone, and the phones got so log-jammed that no orders could get through, and they literally were marking down prices. This was when market makers were dealing all of the, you know, sort of balance, if you will. And they were marking down prices just so rapidly, and the phones were not able to get through to these market makers. That has obviously changed, but the speed at which people can trade, I think, is happening as well. If you were to tell me 3 or 4 years ago that we'd have a 3.1% GDP, we'd basically have full employment, you know, we would have these, quote, positive things in the environment, I would say you're crazy. But that's happened, and the market has responded well ahead of that, and now it's making sense. On the flip side, the other argument would say, well, yeah, but we have $20 trillion in debt. We've basically just liquefied this market and funded it, you know, based on the backs of future debt obligations. I would also say, yeah, that's true as well. But, I mean, neither here nor there, the market's higher because of that. I will, in my opinion, here's what I think is being put into this market that no one, well, at least in our shop, I feel like we're the only few that are talking about it. And I'm not a gold bug, a silver bug. I'm not that at all. But I will tell you that I see right now pretty significant, and this is way upstream. So this is from the raw commodity prices, the coppers, the aluminums, the steels. I see significant signs of inflation. And I think that we're going to look back on this, and we're going to look back on the prices that will continue to move higher in the stock market, and people will go, oh my goodness, now it makes sense because the purchasing power has declined significantly, and we're in a significant inflationary environment. That's what I think the market's saying here.
Does that help, Todd? Quint Tatro is with us. The name of his company now, Jewel Financial. We had, if you just joined us, we were rather in mid-conversation with Todd, who said some of the answers that Quint gave him opened the door for some other questions. Go ahead, Todd.
All right. I love this opportunity in this venue to be able to ask an expert questions that I've wondered about literally for several years. The next one I've always wanted to get an answer about is following the markets and understanding some of the tools that the government uses to manage our economy and interest rates and the market. It has largely felt like to me that the market is artificially inflated through the use of especially quantitative easing and tools that they were using, in the early 2010s, 2012, 2013. And it was there's an importance to keeping interest rates down because they want all that money going into the market and being traded there, especially. And I'm just wondering, is there a premium? Is the market largely overvalued because all the real, true underlying fundamental values just aren't there? They just don't exist anymore. Everything's just kind of a little bit over-manipulated, I think. I know you understand what I'm asking you, but I don't think I did a very good job of
putting the words together. You did an exceptional job. Let me hit it on a few points. I think here's the greatest thing that I've ever learned in my my 20 years in business by myself, and that is you play the game by the rules that are set, and you don't set the rules. I have seen countless people go broke in this business trying to set their own rules. And what I mean by that is whether the market is manipulated or not, and it is, okay, just simply Federal Reserve policy, movement of interest rates, which movement of money, which then finds a home in stocks, is absolutely 100%, quote, manipulation. Now, that has a negative connotation, but many will argue that the Federal Reserve stepping in and buying mortgages from the banks during the credit crisis saved our financial system, which kept our economy moving. I did not believe it would work. I thought it was ridiculous, actually, which is why we were late getting back in. Now, to our credit, we avoided the decline in 08. I mean, it was wonderful to have avoided that. But we were late getting back in. I took a lot of flack for that. But I wanted to be sure that the recapitalization of the banks was actually going to manifest. And I had to see that after several quarters of improved balance sheets and income statements, which we did. The market has been and will be manipulated throughout history and will continue to be. It's simple as that. It's a main driver of our economy. It just will. And so if you understand that, and you understand Fed policy, and you understand how that can happen, then you know you understand those rules, and you're fine by that. The flip side is there is true intrinsic value in these companies. Apple, Microsoft, Google, etc. There is intrinsic value. Coca-Cola. These companies are generating real money, real profits. I mean, I teach two classes at the University of Kentucky on this same subject matter. It's going in, doing a deep dive in the individual company, evaluating what they're worth, etc. Now, the final thing you brought up, which is the market generally overvalued? I want to stress the word generally, and the answer is unequivocally yes. No question about it. Generally, this market is overvalued. It's overvalued based on historical terms, meaning if someone is used to paying X number of times earnings for a company, they're now paying X number of times, which is greater than what they're normally paying. So it is overvalued. However, the market is made up of a variety of different industries. I would be a lot more concerned about the market if all of those industries were overvalued. For example, within the S&P 500, there are 11 sectors, all the way from technology, healthcare, all the way down to utilities and basic materials. When you look at all of those 11 sectors, there are only about half of them that are trading in what we call the stratosphere or in overvalued territory. What is happening now is that these new highs that are being reached by the market are coming not because Google, Facebook, and Apple and Amazon are all of a sudden leaping 10, 20, 30%. No, they're not. They've been actually remaining relatively still in the same range. But what is now happening is other companies are coming in and they're picking up the slack. Money is rotating into those other areas. So we are now, while we are taking profits in areas that have done exceptionally well, like technology, broad market indices, emerging markets, I'm finding great value in energy, basic materials, and so forth. So yes, the market's overvalued. Generally, there are segments that are not. And is the market manipulated? No question about it, and it will be forever.
Todd, thanks. Appreciate your call. Real quickly, basic question. I was going through some boxes yesterday and discovered a $100 bond I won in a speech contest when I was 15. I'm nearly three times that age now. Has the bond continued to accrue interest? That's from Jeremy.
It probably matured at some point. Bonds have a maturity date. It probably matured. I would just, call an advisor, call our office, and we'll do some research for you and find out what the deal is.
Only have a minute left. Can you ask Quint to explain the 1010 IRA that I've been hearing about on the radio?
Good question. It will take a lot longer than 30 seconds or 45 seconds.
Can President Trump absorb the Federal Reserve into the U.S. Treasury since Stanley?
No. Okay. No. Not going to happen. Absolutely not.
All right. We've got about 30 seconds. You've got it.
All right. I mean, check us out on the web. Best place to learn about our services. If you're, let me tell you something. In this environment, 23,000, I'm not pedal to the metal here. Please don't hear that. Am I long-term optimistic about the market? Yeah, primarily because of inflation. I think it's a great hedge for inflationary purposes. If you're not looking at that, that's a detriment to your purchasing power going forward. But we're booking profits. We're pulling a little bit off the table. It's been a phenomenal year. If your advisor isn't making those tactical moves in this environment, I'd be looking for a new advisor.